50, 10, 5, touchdown!
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, in association with Rebel Wireless and Quaker Steak and Lube, on ESPN 850 WKNR.
It pushes, and he's in! Touchdown! It is all over! The Browns have won it!
And now, here's your host, Vic Carucci.
All right, let's get this week off to a good start. A Football Monday, Vic Carucci with you, the full hour, talking Browns. And we have got a lot to talk about. Rookie minicamp starts Friday. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the Browns gather up all their rookies and get them on the field. And there's so much to talk about that. Bernie Kosar, former quarterback of the Browns, you know that guy, regular on this show, he'll be aboard with some of those thoughts. And we're going to get into, with Bernie, and I'm also going to do this with my other guest tonight, Tom Withers from the Associated Press, the discussion about the quarterback competition. Much has been made in recent days about whether Brandon Whedon, in fact, is going to be the guy, or is it going to be Jason Campbell? Is it really Brandon Whedon's job to lose, sort of the perspective that came out of the draft, because the Browns didn't draft a quarterback, so people more or less rushed to that conclusion, or it was fair to think that? Not so fast, maybe. And we're reading reports, although I will say this is the manufacturing of news season, more or less, around the NFL, because there's that period after the draft, after the undrafted free agents are signed, now the rookie minicamps taking place around the league. A bunch took place this past weekend. As I mentioned, the Browns, their camp is coming up this weekend, where you're just kind of finding some things to talk about in the absence of real news, of a lot of news. So that's going to be a topic that we'll hit on this show. And my early sense is that it's not different than what we thought it would be. Didn't we hear right along Brandon Whedon would be part of a competition? There would be competition for him. And when Jason Campbell was signed, with the experience he brings, 71 career NFL starts, same kind of guy physically as Whedon, that this would be a legitimate competition. Obviously much more so than a year ago when Whedon was a rookie. So we'll get into that. And I mentioned news, or at least lack thereof. Unfortunately, there isn't always a lack of news around this or any team, and some bad news. I guess that's what I'll put this under, the heading of it, or negative news. Armani Bryant, seventh-round pick of the Browns, defensive end, charged with DUI in Oklahoma. So not so good with Armani Bryant, and especially coming right after, not long after he was drafted, A, as a seventh-round pick, but he was drafted after, of course, being involved with a sale of marijuana to an undercover officer. So that he had that strike against him when he was drafted, and now this. So not so great to hear about that with Armani Bryant. The Browns' position on this right now is that they aren't commenting, aware of it, kind of gathering the information as they can from Oklahoma. But I don't know. That's what we have from that. And your questions, your comments that you submit to the Browns official Facebook and Twitter pages, we get into those. You can email us at daily@clevelandbrowns.com. And our Browns Daily Twitter page is @Browns_daily. Brian from Twitter, and also my Twitter account, @VICCARUCCI. Brian says, I like the hiring of North Turner as offensive coordinator, quarterback's coach. Brandon Whedon will have a good year. He's just got to make sure he doesn't force throws. And to that I say, yeah, that's what Turner's here for, and I know that's the dots you've connected, Brian, with your point. And I think he was forcing some throws. I think what will help not force throws, besides Turner being inside his head and helping him with mechanics and just the technical teaching, is the type of offense that he's dealing with. One that I think when he was the horizontal passing game, West Coast style of Pat Shurmur, Brad Childress, that was a bad fit for him. I think part of the reason was his general way of playing the position, his skill set. I think I think, was the kind of thing that influenced him to make some throws, ill-advised throws, because of the nature of kind of picking those spots. Now, he still has to, every quarterback has to pick their spots, and not every throw is going to be a deep shot, even in a more vertical passing game. But I think the general comfort of this offense, and especially with him being in shotgun so often, where he scans and sees things better, would likely result, or should result, in fewer of those forced throws, my thoughts. All right, in a couple of minutes, you're going to hear from the man who knows this quarterback position a whole lot better than I do, and a whole lot better than a whole lot of people. The former quarterback of the Browns, a regular on this show, Bertie Kosar, will be joining us. We'll get some thoughts on the quarterback competition. Well, we'll get some thoughts on these rookies and heading into rookie minicamp, what he thinks of things about this aftermath of this draft. That's next on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The best deals of the year have been extended at Liberty Ford. Get 0% financing for 60 months on our huge selection of 2013 Fords. Or lease the best-selling Fusion or Escape for only $189. Your choice, only $189. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion,
I am Bernie Kosar, and I'm proud to say that I am from Northeast Ohio, proud to have worn the Cleveland Browns uniform, and proud to have played before the best fans in the world. Likewise, Discount Drug Mart, proud to have served the people of Ohio for over 40 years, offering a wide range of products, convenient locations, and money-saving prices. Discount Drug Mart, the official drugstore of the Cleveland Browns. Remember, Discount Drug Mart saves you the runaround.
You'll find everything you need.
Nothing stays cold longer than a Polar Pop fountain drink from Circle K. The Polar Pop cups are made of polar foam. It keeps your fountain drink cold longer than any other cup on the planet. Best of all, you can get any size cup for the same low price, just 69 cents. So pour yourself a Polar Pop. Any size cup, just 69 cents every day.
Pour yourself a Polar Pop.
Only at Circle K.
For your cooler and charcoal budget. For depositing $100 from Section 100. For being ready on game day, PNC has tools like Mobile Deposit that lets you snap and send checks from most anywhere. And Virtual Wallet that alerts you when you're running low. See our tools and apps at pnc.com/alwaysopen. PNC Bank, for the achiever in you. Official bank of the Cleveland Browns. A supported mobile device is needed to use Mobile Deposit. Standard data rates and certain other restrictions apply. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
Why does business manager Mike Davis stay at La Quinta Inns and Suites? Because only with La Quinta's instant hold can Mike reserve a room at the last minute with just one finger and his phone number. And the next day during his business review, you know what he does?
Ladies and gentlemen, the stylings of Mike Davis.
Sales forecast for this quarter look good. Up 20% like you knew that they would.
He gets everyone jazzed up. La Quinta takes care of you so you can take care of business. Instant hold at LQ.com today.
Welcome to Sears Auto Center, sir. This way to the parlor.
You mean the lobby?
No, sir, that's the foyer. Shall I ring the valet?
Nah, I already parked.
Right.
Butlers would make tire shopping fancy, but they wouldn't make it better. Better at Sears Auto Center, with online scheduling, extended hours, and top brands like Die Hard and the Mighty Road Handler. Buy three, get one free on Goodyear Eagle GTs and up to $80 in mail-in rebate on eligible Goodyear tires. This is convenience. This is Sears Auto Center. Offer ends 5/18. Free tire of equal or lesser value. Rebate ends 6/1. Rebate ranges from $40 to $80. Installation required. See store for details.
Vic Carucci with you on a football Monday. Dave DiNatale, my outstanding producer, just pointed out that it is an official football Monday because we had a Polar Pop commercial. That really just does set the tone for a football Monday, no doubt. And Browns fans unite because season tickets are on sale now. Be part of the tradition of Cleveland Browns football live at First Energy Stadium. Great seat locations are open in the general seating bowl and club level. For more information on new Browns season tickets, visit clevelandbrowns.com or call 440-824-3434. And this segment, it's brought to you by Quaker Steak and Lube.
Bernie, oh yeah. how you can throw. Yeah.
He joins us on the Rebel Wireless Hotline, a regular on this show, Bernie Kosar. And Bernie, let's start with this because minicamp is coming up at the end of this week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Berea. The Browns, with their drafted players, their undrafted players, getting them on the field. I want your thoughts on this first step and how meaningful it is, especially, I guess, from the standpoint of the 18 undrafted players on the field, evaluating them.
Well, first, coming off a fantastic sunny weekend like we just had in Cleveland, it's kind of signifies that, you know, the team and guys and coming and getting started right now. Look, nobody has the team made per se, but with in the reality of NFL football, and especially today, we know the significance, the magnitude of the draft. And guys who are picked high in the draft tend to at least get their shot. The beautiful thing about the NFL now, with seven rounds in the pick in the draft, and we saw even last year, the Baltimore Ravens, I think, had 12 guys-ish that were rookies, 10 to 12 guys that were rookies on the roster the Super Bowl week. Well, seven rounds of drafting tends to mean then there's undrafted free agents. Now, more so than ever, the 18 undrafted free agents that we're talking about have that opportunity to genuinely make the team. By far, this mini camp, this offseason, and in particular training camp, when you're allowed to start hitting people, is the most important for that group of guys. And today, more so than ever, that group, the 18 undrafted free agents, need to build your team. All teams need to. And if Super Bowl teams are building their teams with undrafted free agents, teams that pick in the top 10 do have the room and opportunity for it. And these guys, it starts the process of probably the most important 3 or 4 months of their career.
And teams picking in the top 10, as the Browns did and have, are teams that lack experience generally. They are teams that are relying a lot on young people. This was an extremely young Browns team last year, one of the youngest in the NFL, I think led the league in rookie start 77, whatever that number was. And now you're looking at a team with more young players, as you just said so well, that are going to have a role. They're meaningful additions to this team via the draft and probably through the undrafted free agents. They will find a spot on this team, which leads me to the discussion of what does this mean for the 2013 Browns? Because as much as I think people want to have hope and promise and an optimistic outlook on what's ahead for this team, I think when you keep talking about younger players filling your roster, it's very hard to believe that you can be a contending team when you're that young.
Well, I know how I feel on Monday right now, being a little sore. Yeah, there's a beautiful thing about experience, but one of the nice things about the NFL is youth and athleticism and physical ability is something that in a contact violent sport like football is still essential to have. And there's really no substitute for athleticism and ability. And yes, the Browns were the youngest team in the league last year. Those guys got a lot of reps. They got a lot of playing time. They got a lot of experience. I really think guys like that, yes, it's a new system. Yeah, it's a new staff. Basically a new organization, but they got a lot of experience. Their learning curve, their growth curve should be exponentially better than that. And I look for guys like that to be supplemented with younger guys this year. And with the speed, youth, athleticism, the expectation level / the lack of excuses because of youth, I don't think should really be there because the system's going to be well-suited for, I think, the physical abilities and athleticism of some of the younger guys. And with the experience that the group got last year of actually playing on Sunday at 1 o'clock in the games, coupled with some of the age and transition that I think Baltimore and Pittsburgh are going through, I think that kind of cross curve or graph should bode well for some of the younger athleticism within the Browns.
And, Bernie, because it's youth on youth in these drills, you really can't gauge too much in terms of NFL readiness. But I think the thing that we're all going to have our eyes on, number one, is Barkevious Mingo's readiness as a sixth overall pick as a key component to this 3-4 defense at outside linebacker, how ready he is going to be to play. And I guess you can see certain things maybe that he'll be able to do in these padless workouts just in terms of his movement and more than anything his grasp. The coaches are going to focus on that, how he's picking up all the Ray Horton complexities of this defense right off the bat. You can see some of that, I think, initially, can't you?
Yeah, I don't really use – when I was – I don't like to say when I was playing, but years ago, contact, physical play in the spring, in the voluntary conditioning things was part of the game. You could get a little bit of a feel for NFL readiness. I think now, because it's probably better that you're not hitting and banging heads in May and June, July, like we did back then. And it gives the kids a better chance because the size and speed of the athlete, it's too much to do that year-round. So NFL readiness probably doesn't come to your playing games in August, September, and the physical plays in there. But NFL ability and NFL kind of savvy, you definitely can tell. In NFL athleticism, you could definitely tell in the mini camps. And you had astutely mentioned the Ray Horton defense and a way of doing things in terminology. You know, how do you pick up calls? How do you pick up assignments? How do you pick up adjustments to the offensive formations and the shifts and motions and multiple formations and multiple personnel groups that offenses give you to disrupt the defensive flow and defensive play? You know, those type of things, absolutely, Mingo's going to be judged on and being able to see how he handles those types of situations.
Bernie Kosar joining us on the Revel Wireless Hotline here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And it would apply to Leon McFadden at that cornerback spot as well. Because in this guy, I mean, with Mingo, you could at least say, okay, get him into pass rush situations. I think more realistically than seeing him out there as an every down player, and I'm not saying he wouldn't be or shouldn't be viewed potentially as that guy, but I think Jabal Sheard gives this team a true every down option, probably a bigger, stronger guy for sure, and a guy who clearly has more experience. When you look at McFadden and that other cornerback spot, there's just a blank spot there. And that really is a case where you've got to look at McFadden and just see, okay, what is he ready to do? How much is he ready to show? And the same things you're talking about, but I think in terms of how this defense, what it asks corners to do, how much there is in zone coverage, and what's the awareness, the instincts, all the stuff that's been publicized about Leon McFadden, how much of that shows up on the field. We're going to start to see that Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or at least we hope.
Well, first, quickly, Jabal Sheard being older is stronger, and Mingo has to and will get bigger and stronger with his frame and athleticism and in these off seasons and in a couple years within the NFL. I've been, in terms of the defensive backs and receivers and our third-round pick, McFadden, I absolutely, and I've been a little levity/tough on corners and some of my feelings towards how they sometimes play. The receivers and cornerbacks, actually in mini camp and all the time, will more probably quickly be able to be judged in terms of their NFL readiness than offensive linemen and front seven on defense, because defensive backs and the receivers, the one-on-one drills, how they cover, how they handle man, to your point again about zone coverage, ball awareness, instincts, look, that's part of your DNA. That's part of your substance, your fiber, who you are at those positions. And that's not a light switch. You either have it or you don't. You work on it year-round or you don't have it. And physical play, instincts, how you handle zone, how you just man up and cover man-to-man, that will come out more clearly and more definedly with the DBs and McFadden and the young receivers. Who's progressed from last year? who's taking the next level of play. Bump coverage is bump coverage, whether it's May come up at minicamp this week or off-season program or August or a game. You're beating man coverage. DBs have tendencies about how they want a physical play or lack of physical play, how they bump or not bump, how they handle zone, do they read instincts, read quarterback eyes. All that stuff tends to be part of who you are, part of your DNA, part of your personality, and that is a little easier, especially for me, to define in mini camp than a defensive front seven guy until there's actual contact.
Now, two players who won't be on the field during this mini camp are Brandon Whedon and Jason Campbell, yet they've been the topic of a whole lot of discussion, Bernie, regarding the competition at the quarterback position. How real will it be? And it seems to have escalated this thought that Jason Campbell has a truer shot at getting this, that Brandon Whedon is not promised anything, that even though he started off the offseason workouts number one on the depth chart, let's talk about them splitting reps during offseason workouts. All of that, I guess, doesn't really surprise me because it is consistent with what we heard. We didn't think in any respect. We never heard Joe Banner, never heard Rob Chudzinski say that Brandon Whedon was being handed a job, that there would be real competition to it. But my question to you is, how does that process get managed, especially through the off season? You talk about splitting reps. How do you see this coming down?
Well, first, I do think in the off season, splitting reps, competition, you're always competing, and you really always should be competing, whether it's the quarterbacks on the roster, somebody else who may come in, or just against yourself, or just your own personal pride. You're the quarterback. You're the leader. You really should always be in a competition, even if it's within your own head and your own self. And when you relax and you think it's yours and you're not competing and putting pressure on yourself towards perfection, I think it emulates around to the guys around you, and they kind of lower their level of play. Whereas if you're in competition and you're working at the highest level towards perfection, the guys around you work towards that. And I incredibly believe in that. You know, Jason Campbell's had a hard time staying healthy over a season. That being said, he's probably the only guy to have any success in Oakland over the last decade. He was 4-2 before he had the little injury, where they made the panicked, horrible trade to bring in Carson Palmer and help the Bengals get those high picks. But he was really playing good. When Jason Campbell's had an opportunity to play with crap teams and bad players around him, he's actually played really good. That being said, he's also had trouble staying healthy. So, how realistic is the competition? Brandon Whedon, number one pick, older guys, everyone knows. But he hasn't really earned the right to be the definitive number one. So, guys playing, competing, whether they split reps or not in the off season, there's not the, and Vic, me and you have talked on and off the air about this.
Right.
There's not the threat of getting killed in preseason. They know they're not going to get hit. So it's easy to be cool in the pocket. It's easy to fire in that 20-yard square and chuck down that 18-yard comeback. Throw the skinny post when they know that, Mingo's going to pull off him, or Javal Sheard's not going to, split his helmet in between the numbers. So it's easy to be cool and throw that. So throwing the ball, even whether you get the rep or not, the quarterback who's not getting the rep has to mentally take it anyways. He has to understand it. You don't take plays off, whether you're in the game or not. And I think it's a little bit overblown, but again, both guys need to pick this offense up. In August, when them preseason games come, it's going to be imperative that they make plays in the preseason to earn the right to be the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns. I mean, I know Joe Banner, Mike Lombardi, are in running a team, but I've been with Chud for a lot of years. I've been with Coach Norv for a lot of years. They don't take losing easy, and they're there to win. And the quarterback that's going to make those plays, that's going to throw that skinny post, stick that square in there, make that comeback throw when that D tackle is going to split his chest open, that's the guy who's going to play. And that's probably all of this builds towards playing good in those preseason games to show the coaches, and more importantly, probably show the teammates that they deserve to be the quarterback.
Absolutely. Bernie, tremendous breakdown, as we always expect from you. We'll do this again next week. How's that sound?
Perfect.
Here's Bernie Kosar joining us on the Rebel Wireless Hotline right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And we've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Best deals of the year have been extended at Liberty Ford. Get 0% financing for 60 months on our huge selection of 2013 Fords. Or lease America's best-selling truck, the F-150, for only $229. That's right, only $229 a month. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion,
It just got hotter in Medina. At Quaker Steak and Lube, we're famous for over 20 flavors of award-winning sauces, voted Best Wings USA. But there's so much more. Ribs, steaks, burgers, sandwiches, salads, signature drinks, and drafts, all served up on a platter full of fun. Every night is hot at the Lube, including all-you-can-eat wings on Tuesday and 60-cent breaded boneless wings on Wednesday. Great times, great food. Get to Quaker Steak and Lube, now open at 4094 Pearl Road in Medina.
At Cleveland Clinic, we'll see you later, today. Access to the best care is easy, with same-day appointments available at convenient locations throughout Northeast Ohio. Call today, 216-444-CARE, or visit clevelandclinic.org.
Freeze in full bloom this spring at Rebel. Now get a free month of nationwide, no contract, unlimited everything with any smartphone activation. No compromising, just great savings. Rebel Wireless. Come save with us. Limited time offer. Requires activation on a $45 smartphone plan.
Hey, girls. Mother's Day is this Sunday. What should we get Mommy?
Daddy, how about we get her a kitten?
Well, that's a sweet idea, Emma. Let's think of some more.
Daddy, how about we get her a ballerina?
Very good, Chloe. Let's keep thinking.
I know, Daddy. Let's get Mommy her own spaceship.
Good one, Molly. Good one. Oh, boy.
Mother's Day is this Sunday. Are you looking for the perfect gift for your wife or any important mom in your life? Right now, Sherry's Berries has an amazing last-minute deal. You can get our giant gourmet hand-dipped strawberries for just $19.99. These mouth-watering berries are covered in premium gourmet toppings like chocolate chips and nuts for only $19.99. You pick the delivery date and your berries are guaranteed to arrive beautiful and delicious. But hurry, because Mother's Day is this Sunday, and this incredible deal ends Friday. The only way to get this incredible deal is to visit berries.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right corner and enter the secret code 7070. That's berries.com, secret code 7070.
Your Akron Arrows are home tonight through Wednesday against the Erie Seawolves. Tonight at 7:05, it's a Charity Begins at Home night featuring Goodwill of Akron, as each Monday the Arrows team up with a local nonprofit to raise funds and awareness for their cause. Plus, it's Sea Monkey Celebration Night. Don't ask. Just come and see what all the fun is about. Gates open at 6 and game time at 7:05. Seats start at just $5. Call 800-97-ARROWS or buy online at AkronArrows.com. Akron Arrows Baseball. It's a whole new ballgame. It's deer season at Shearer Equipment. Visit the Shearer Equipment Open House in Medina on Lafayette Road this Saturday, May 11th from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m. Have the best-looking lawn on the block with help from Shearer Equipment. Shearer is rolling out great deals on mowers, including the new D105 starting at $14.99, Z235 for only $24.99, and the X300 for only $29.99. Shearer Equipment, serving your John Deere headquarters with 7 area locations. Visit ShearerEquipment.com.
Listen up, golfers. If you haven't played Shale Creek, you are missing out. One of my favorite courses to play, and wait till you see their fabulous new clubhouse featuring a full-service bar, restaurant, and banquet facility. Now Shale isn't just another course. It's a great experience, perfect for your foursome, group, or golf outing, corporate meetings, banquets, or even weddings. They do it all at Shale Creek, 330-723-8774. Be sure to like them on Facebook. Shale Creek, discover it today. I promise you'll love it.
It's now your chance to Ask Vic on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
That's right. You submit questions, comments to the Browns official Facebook and Twitter pages. Email us at daily@clevelandbrowns.com. You also can leave voicemails, 855-363-DAILY, 855-363-2459. Michael, from email from England, says, What are the Cleveland Browns doing, Vic, about our fullback position, as it is a problem position? Well, here's what I got for you on this. It's pretty clear the moves the Browns have, or maybe we should say haven't, made through unrestricted free agency, I have a draft, undrafted free agent signings. I don't think the team, what's concluded here is the team doesn't see the problem you see, Michael. Now, there's a chance they're going to acquire a fullback, sure, at some point before the start of training camp in July, let's say, or the regular season. I'm not ruling anything out. There's plenty of time to add someone if they felt that were the case. But I just think if this were the priority that, again, if they saw it as the priority you do, and I'm not trying to keep saying you, but for the sake of answering your question, and there are others who agree with you that feel the Browns have overlooked something at fullback now for entering a third season. This is, you know, go back as far as whenever Lawrence Vickers was last on the team. And the feeling is, and yeah, through the Pat Shurmur years, now in the first year of Rob Chudzinski, the feeling is that this team is satisfied, at least for now, as was the previous coaching staff and administration, with Owen Marisic as the lone fullback. And for his part, I'll say this. Owen, as I've seen him around the building in Berea, looks a little bigger, looks a little like he's added some muscle. I don't think you'll confuse him for the classic traditional-looking Vickers type of fullback, body type, larger guy. No, I don't see that. But I think he's a little bit bigger. And I'm also thinking that the Browns are because of the investment in Chris Obanaya, re-signing him, he's not a fullback, but he is the designated guy to pick up blitzes, to catch the ball out of the backfield, to be who the Browns think he can be as a complement, as that, you know, that complement to Trent Richardson in the blocking realm. That's what I think we're looking at there. Well, now, Edward from Facebook, this is, I'll try to get through as much as this. It's a long one, but he says, he says, yeah, I know things can turn around for this team in 1 year, even though, I'm sorry, he says, yeah, can't turn around for this team in 1 year. He says, I know things can't. And then he says, even though it happened, the Redskins, Seahawks, Colts, Leicester, all right. But I'm getting sick of this five-year plan baloney. He says, we've been mired in this crap since this joke of a franchise came back in 99. Wow, Edward. It's really sad when your front office basically stated with the way they drafted, traded, and conducted free agency that they have no problem letting this team suffer this upcoming season. In fact, it actually seems like they want this team to suck so they don't have to package many picks to move up for the best quarterback next year. Let's be honest. Barkevious Mingo is the only potential starter to come from this draft, and he's a total project. Reading up on him, his negatives far surpass his positives at this stage of his career. And that is simply unacceptable at pick number 6. You need a superstar at that position, not a question mark. And the cornerback we got reminds me very much of Buster Skrine, both in body type and play style. Prove me wrong, please. All right, Edward, settle down. Settle down just a little bit. You know, I don't think that your assumption that this team intentionally wants to be bad in 2013, I hope you were, yeah, well, it doesn't sound like you were kidding, so I won't assume what you were doing. But I consider that the joke here. No, that's not how you approach things. It makes no sense to go about your business that way when you're running the football team. I think every move was made with 13 and beyond in mind, sustainable success in mind. You've heard this enough before. You're not buying it. Okay, I'll grant you that, but that is the sell. That is what is out there. And I think you're selling short what Mingo can be this year. I agree. At 237, he's got weight to add. As a former defensive end in college, he's got a new position to learn, an outside linebacker. I don't think, though, that means he can do nothing and can't have a high impact in his first season. In fact, I think his position would allow him to actually do a lot more because he'll be unburdened by a lot of the heavier responsibility as he's utilized. And he may be burdened with more responsibility if he shows his ability to deal with that. You heard me talking about that with Bernie Kosar as far as what you start seeing when he's on the field, what he looks like. And we'll get into that, too, with Tom Withers shortly. But and your points about Leon McFadden, the cornerback, third-round pick, is he another Buster Screen? I think he's Leon McFadden. And I think body type, his height is not ideal. I think his the frame that he has gives him some ability to handle some things a little better than you might think from a physical standpoint, which is very important. Try that bump and press coverage stuff. And he's fast, he's athletic. But just to assume that he's just that guy just because you see similarities, I don't think that's fair. And at this point, I'm not buying that it's accurate. But I also, by the way, need both of those guys to prove me right and the coaching staff to get what they get out of them. I'm putting some faith in that. But until it happens, it hasn't happened. And I read your Facebook posting here because you make points that I've heard from other fans before, and it's the connection of years. You see it as just one big blur, and that's okay for you to see it that way. I don't. I do tend to try to take it from, separate the seasons a little bit and give this new group a chance to see what they can do to make things better. But I get where you're coming from. All right, let's get more into what these Browns rookies are all about. And that quarterback position, that competition there. Let's see what our good buddy Tom Withers from the Associated Press covers the Browns, the Cleveland Bureau of the AP. That's next on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
The best deals of the year have been extended at Liberty Ford. Get 0% financing for 60 months on our huge selection of 2013 Fords. Or lease the best-selling fuel-efficient Focus for only $129. That's right, only $129 a month. Liberty guarantees financing, and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's in Solon, Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion,
It just got hotter in Medina. At Quaker Steak and Lube, we're famous for over 20 flavors of award-winning sauces, voted Best Wings USA. But there's so much more. Ribs, steaks, burgers, sandwiches, salads, signature drinks, and drafts, all served up on a platter full of fun. Every night is hot at the Lube, including all-you-can-eat wings on Tuesday and 60-cent breaded boneless wings on Wednesday. Great times, great food. Get to Quaker Steak and Lube, now open at 4094 Pearl Road in Medina.
Are you ready to make some big plays this season? Like growing your savings, buying a home, or even building a business? At First Merit Bank, we'd like to assist you with your goals, whatever they may be. So no matter what your next play is, we're ready to help you make it happen. It's your game plan. How can we help? First Merit Bank. You first. Equal housing lender. Member FDIC.
Welcome to Bonefish Grill.
And that's why they named the street after me. They say spring is a time for love. And I hope they are right, because I'm meeting a blind date at Bonefish Grill. We exchange awkward hellos as our server deftly arrives with Hawaiian martinis. With island flavors of coconut and desert pear, each sip is as surprising as the fact that she actually resembles her profile picture. We share white tuna street tacos for $8.90. With each delectable bite of seared albacore and crispy wontons, I almost start to believe in this love business. Next, the deluxe mixed grill for $18.90 with delicious sirloin steak, tender scallops, and shrimp. I know I've found at least one amazing catch tonight.
Try our new Happy Monday prefix. For just $14.90, enjoy a draft beer, house wine, or other beverage, a salad, and an entree, like our delicious Bang Bang Shrimp Dinner.
Sounds like my idea of a good time. Bonefish Grill. Happiness here.
In Cleveland, at the corner of Rockside Road and 77. Visit bonefishgrill.com for the location nearest you.
This is Rene Peña Jr. talking about his Nissan NV Cargo on hidden microphone.
This van is kind of square.
If it's square, it gives you more room. All that room just helps out.
What are you going to do with all these shelves?
Filters, just all kinds of stuff. So
if you don't have that much space, by the end of the day, your stuff's everywhere. If everything has its place, that's where it's going to go back, you know.
Well, aren't you organized?
To get more candid opinions from real Nissan NV cargo owners, visit CandidCargo.com. Nissan, innovation that excites.
Mm-hmm. It's a Football Monday. Vic Carucci with you. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Hey, you can see Clint Dempsey and Michael Bradley and the U.S. soccer team take on Belgium May 29th at First Energy Stadium. For tickets and info, visit ussoccer.com. And this segment is driven by Liberty Ford. Joining us now on the Revel Wireless Hotline is Tom Withers from the Associated Press. He's a regular on this show. Tom, I do want to talk extensively about what is coming up this weekend, the rookie mini camp, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. But before we get to that, let's talk about a couple of guys who won't be on the field then, but who have been talked about a great deal in the media, at least, and that is Brandon Whedon, one, and Jason Campbell, the other. This quarterback competition and how much of a competition it's going to be. I'm not sure if I'm missing something here, because I thought all along there would be a competition, but did folks kind of get the idea maybe after the team didn't draft a quarterback that the shift or the focus changed and it was, hey, really, this looks like it's Brandon Whedon's job to lose, but now there's reminders here, but yeah, there's Jason Campbell around here.
Yeah, Vic, we're talking about quarterbacks. Of course we are. We can never go 5 minutes without talking about the quarterback in this town.
That's right.
Yeah, I didn't really make very much of a couple of recent reports about there being a competition. It's exactly what I expected. I think, you know, as you and I have talked about before, I think competition is a great thing. I don't care if it's a quarterback or cornerback or long snapper. I think it's, very important for any team, especially a team that's rebuilding and going through some more growing pains, to have competition at the most important position on the field. So, no, it does not surprise me whatsoever. I think that's exactly why they signed Jason Campbell in March, was to bring somebody in here to put a little bit of fire under Brandon Whedon. And I think the story, as much as anything, is not whether or not Jason Campbell is going to be given a fair shot to win the job, and we expect him to. To me, the bigger story, Vic, is how does Brandon Whedon respond to this? You know, if, in fact, the franchise quarterback that some people think he can be down the road, well, it's up to him now to show it. And I think there's nothing better to get coaches and this new front office in line with that thinking than to see him beat out a veteran quarterback who's made 71 NFL starts, who is a proven winner, who has all the experience that you would want to have at that position. So I think it's a very healthy thing, Vic, as I said before.
Yeah, it's very healthy, and I think also, I'm going to use the word revealing, Tom, because I think to a great extent, Rob Chudzinski, North Turner, probably Joe Banner as well, everybody in the hierarchy of the Browns, they want to see this response, and I think they want to gauge from Whedon just how engaged he is with the idea that you're being
right.
Pushed now. There is someone here legitimately who does things the way you do them. Colt McCoy wasn't that guy. I mean, all Whedon had to do was just look at McCoy throw his first pass in an offseason workout, look at his physical stature and everything, and say, okay, that's not what I do, and
right.
I was drafted, so they've got a profile for me that he doesn't fit. It's different now because Campbell is more of that profile. And I think the other thing, it's probably, and I discussed this with Bernie Kosar as well, I think you've got to show without being prompted that you're always up to the challenge. That,
absolutely.
That, right, that it matters to you and that you're into this idea of competing. And if you reflect anything less than that, then you shouldn't be, the team shouldn't want you as its quarterback.
1,000% right, Vic. Isn't that the nature of that position? Isn't that what happens on a weekly basis in this league? Isn't the focus always on the quarterback and how he matches up with the other guy on the other sideline or on the other side of the line of scrimmage? That's what it's all about, and I think that's what this new regime wants to see, to your point. I think they want to see, hey, Brandon Whedon, if you're the guy, show us you're the guy. We brought somebody in right now, and we want to see the best out of you. So there's nothing better to do that than to put somebody right behind you that's going to push you to, you know, hopefully, you know, get the most out of your ability. So, and let's be honest too, Vic, you and I know Brandon Whedon better than this new front office does. I mean,
right.
We have a sense of what he's about. They don't know this kid. They're taking him on, you know, not sight unseen, but they don't have a whole lot of background on him. You know, they've seen him a little bit in the mini camp that we've already had, and they want to see more. So, once again, nothing better than to push him than competition.
Yeah, and what'll be interesting is You've heard some of the references about splitting reps during the off season and seeing how that all unfolds. Now, again, we're not going to get a look at that this weekend with a rookie minicamp that doesn't involve guys like Wade and Campbell. But as we push forward in the off season, we've got yet another thing those of us who watch and chronicle this stuff are going to be paying attention. And I can see it now. There is going to be charting and graphing of what is going, graphs being made about how these two are performing on the practice field. Can't you just see it going through the remainder of the off-season workouts, which, what, end in early June? And then, man, we jump into training camp late July, and it's on.
Yeah, and that's okay. And I think, again, I'm really interested to see how Brandon Weeden responds to this. You know, I've noticed a couple of tweets by him here and there, you know, noting that he's been, you know, working hard every day. And I think just in getting to know him a little bit last year, Vic, just in the casual talks I had with him, you know, away from the media group and just getting a sense to know Brandon, he is a competitor. Brandon wants to show people that, hey, yeah, I might be a little bit older. Yeah, you know, people have questions about whether or not I'm good underneath the center. He wants to go out and prove to everybody that he can be the quarterback of this team for the foreseeable future. So, again, I think it's a really good thing. And, hey, this won't be the first time that the media has chronicled every single snap, every single, all the body language and all that stuff that are out on the field. So I think, though, you know, given where this team is right now, this is not a bad thing at all.
No, and not that he was, I'd call, like a carefree, kind of happy-go-lucky guy necessarily, because that isn't him. But I would say to you that the guy I've seen this offseason, especially around the building in Berea, primarily most of these encounters that I see are in the cafeteria because the building's under construction, as you know, being remodeled. So you kind of, that's the gathering place where you really get to see people, players and others during the day. And I see a real serious look on his face most of the time. I see a focused guy, a quiet guy. I mean, he's definitely in mingling with teammates. He sits down with coaches. You'll see him with North Turner from time to time and the other coaches. But for the most part, the look on his face is one of all business, Tom. And that doesn't surprise me, but I think that's what I want to see right now.
No, I'm with you, Vic. And I think something we also forget, too, is that whole undercurrent of change that basically started from day one of training camp last year, and you and I have talked about this before, I really think affected people across the board. And I think for a long time it was very difficult for people to really be themselves and maybe to be the people that they were, you know, previously, whether it was in college or with another team or what have you. I can remember talking to Josh Cooper about this, Brandon Weeden's teammate from Oklahoma State early on in the season. And he said that Brandon was really struggling taking on that leadership role. I mean, it wasn't that he was uncomfortable in being a leader, but it you know, coming into a new system, you know, talking to coaches who are, you know, from the get-go worrying about their future already instead of, you know, rather than worry about who they're going to be playing this next Sunday, thinking about, you know, potentially having to find another job after the season and all that. I just think that dynamic really made it difficult for people to operate under normal circumstances. So what Cooper had told me was that Weeden really wasn't himself over the first 3, 4, or 5 weeks of the season. And it took him a while to really have that comfort to walk into that huddle and say, hey, guys, this is my team. Here we go. And it was tough for him, too, you know, with all the troubles they had with the receiving core early on and injuries and right across the line. So I think Brandon Weeden, there was a lot of growing up done by him last year, and I think this year you're going to see a very different guy from day one.
Such a great point. Tom Withers joins us on the Revel Wireless Hotline on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And, Tom, as we talk about, all right, the players who will be on the field, the draft picks, the undrafted free agents on the field Friday, Saturday, Sunday in Berea, what are some of the things? I know the obvious thing is we're all going to see what Barkevious Mingo looks like now in a football uniform minus pads, what Leon McFadden looks like out there, and we're gonna at least try to get something from that. But when you think about this, what are some of the things that you'd like to just see and focus on?
Yeah, I think the big thing for many people is going to be Mingo, and yeah, how does he size up? You know, what does he look like with shoulder pads on and an orange helmet? And I think, you know, beyond the media, I think there's plenty of coaches on that staff right now who are interested in the same thing. I mean, it's one thing in watching, you know, film of the Alabama and Vanderbilt games against LSU, and then actually seeing him, and you know they've obviously worked him out, but seeing him out there, you know, in competitive situations, you know, how quickly does he come off that ball? You know, is there that burst of speed that we've all heard about? You know, is it going to become evident right away that he does need to put on some more size? You know, is there 15 or 20 pounds of muscle that he needs to put on, you know, before we even get to the start of the regular season, if that's even possible? But, yeah, that's going to be the major focus for me. I am interested to see McFadden out there again in competitive situations. You know, how does he spot the ball? You know, what does his back pedal look like? Things like that. And I think there's only so much, though, Vic, let's be honest, that we're going to be able to take from this weekend, too. I don't think they're going to be out there, you know, knocking each other's helmets off. And they're probably going to be out there in shorts and what have you. But I think it's an important step for these rookies to come in, get themselves familiar with the surroundings, get themselves familiar with the media and everything that goes along with being a professional football player in Cleveland, Ohio. So, you know, it's a nice start for everybody. It's a good, you know, if you will, kind of exhibition season before we get to training camp. And it's a great chance for this brand new coaching staff to get out on the field and do some teaching with some young guys who need some teaching.
Now, I like how you put that, because there is a different perspective from seeing guys, as we've seen, these two draft picks, Mingo and McFadden, after the draft, in really nice suits and ties and, you know, just looking like young business executives, right, going to a corporate meeting or something, versus being in their actual work clothes. And
and
you're right, it's not the full uniform, and it won't have pads, but they will have helmets on, I think, and you'll look and see these guys in a setting that where other, and this is the other dynamic, Tom, on a football field, that perspective, surrounded by other guys who are football-sized players.
And not only that, other guys who are fighting for their football lives,
right.
Guys who, you know, who want to make a career of this, who are coming in to show this coaching staff, hey, you know, there were numbers of teams in this league that made a big mistake on draft day and didn't draft me, so I'm out to prove that I belong in this league. So I think that's great, and I think for Browns fans, what you have to hope is that Mingo and McFadden come across with shoulder pads and helmets on as impressively as they did with suits on. Because I tell you what, you know, I've covered this team since 99 here, and I thought both of those kids came in for, you know, as far as first impressions go, and both really hit a home run. I thought they were terrific in the way they handled the questions. You know, there were some poignant, you know, tough questions asked of both kids. I liked the way they handled with those questions with composure, and it's going to be really exciting to see them out on the field this week.
There's a topic, as you know, that there are certain topics that Browns fans, Browns media, whatever, get a hold of and never let go. And I think it's kind of one of the cool parts, actually, of being around here, because it always gives us something to talk about. So
you
probably know where I'm going to go here, but it is about the proverbial, where's the fullback? And you know, we've been hearing this ever since Lawrence Vickers became an ex-Brown. I've been hearing it a lot. I'm sure you have, too. And the question still persists, and more so now, because now that the Browns have gone through their primary shopping of free agency, they've gone through a draft, and they've gone through undrafted free agent signings, and no one resembling that position has come into play, which can lead one to obviously conclude they're happy, satisfied that Owen Marisic fills that spot, where that doesn't seem to be the case with a lot of fans feeling that same level of comfort. And who else? Well, really no one else. So I think the bottom line seems to me that this coaching staff, Chud, North Turner, are comfortable, or maybe that's not the right word, but at least confident enough that their scheme can operate without that type of that physical profile of the big, you know, banger at fullback.
Yeah, you know, I agree with you, Vic. I scratch my head sometimes about the fullback position. I mean, you know, a lot of times there's really not a need for one until you're down inside the five, and it's, you know, second and goal, and you're looking to go off tackle, and you want to have that lead fullback out in front. Let's be honest, the new NFL, there's really not a traditional fullback position. You know, we talk about the H-back and kind of some of the hybrids you've seen, and I haven't broken down, you know, all of Carolina's film from last year by any means, or all that Norv has done over the last 5 years in San Diego, but I think they use their fullback in, you know, in times of need, and I think there were moments where Owen did a pretty serviceable job in there, and here's a kid that, you know, I haven't seen him in a while, but I have to assume that he's probably put on some weight as well, and he probably has a better understanding of what it means to or what it's going to take for him to be a successful fullback in this league. I think to your point, Vic, is that there is a confidence that, hey, you know, we didn't draft one. We didn't need one that badly. We didn't sign one. But that doesn't mean things can't change between now and September either. I mean, it's going to be important for them to get out there, you know, see how things unfold. Let's make sure Trent Richardson is healthy. You know, is this an offense where we can just, you know, swing the ball out wide and we don't have to bang it in between the tackles that often, other than, again, when it's third and one in midfield or second and goal from the two. So I think it's a little bit overvalued. I think fans, to your point too, Vic, really lock in because of what Vickers meant. But Vickers meant a lot to that Browns team, and that was a very different Browns team than the one we have now.
Right. No, good point. And I think the other thing is the investment in Chris Obanaya keeping that blocking guy that they like and that receiving guy that they like out of the backfield, that specialist sort of player that he is, complimenting Trent Richardson, I think, is another statement to that effect. Tom, great as always, and I look forward to talking with you later in the week, and we'll do this again down the line.
Vic, my pleasure. Thanks a lot.
All right. He is Tom Withers from the Associated Press. He joins us on the Revel Wireless Hotline here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And we've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Shop Liberty for the best selection of pre-owned vehicles in Ohio. Save with hundreds of vehicles priced under $10,000. 0% APR for 60 months on certified pre-owned Fords. Special internet pricing and more. Make it easy and shop all five of our locations' inventory in one place. LibertyFord.com. Liberty guarantees financing and nobody pays more for your trade.
Liberty's been stolen. Maple Heights, Brunswick, Parma Heights, Vermilion,
Hi, I'm Trent Richardson of the Cleveland Browns. I work hard and I make a lot of choices every day. Here's the easy one. I go to Subway restaurants where I can get a choice of better for you subs. Subway has all the options I like all in one place. And the best part, I can change it up depending on my mood. I can choose any of the 8 subs for under 6 grams of fat, like the turkey breast and ham, piled high with all the veggies I need. Or I can add double meat to my favorite, steak and cheese, to fuel up for my bone-crushing workouts. Subway, the official training restaurant of Trent Richardson and you.
Additional charge for double meat.
100 years of U.S. soccer. 100 years of moments like these.
Howard gratefully claims it. Distribution, brilliant. Can they do it here?
Where will you be for our next magical moment? Celebrate our centennial when the USA takes on Belgium May 29th at First Energy Stadium. For tickets, use your Visa at Ticketmaster or visit ussoccer.com.
For your cooler and charcoal budget. For depositing $100 from Section 100. For being ready on game day, PNC has tools like mobile deposit that lets you snap and send checks from most anywhere. And virtual wallet that alerts you when you're running low. See our tools and apps at pnc.com/alwaysopen. PNC Bank, for the achiever in you. Official bank of the Cleveland Browns. A supported mobile device is needed to use mobile deposit. Standard data rates and certain other restrictions apply. PNC Bank, National Association, member FDIC.
Bruce Hooley here, and it's time to start your plan of attack at Golf Tech. Now through May 29th, get to one of Golf Tech's 4 Northeast Ohio locations and receive a 60-minute swing evaluation for only $99. That's right, only $99. You'll be on your way to a better swing with Golf Tech's state-of-the-art training technology. Located East, West, Canton, and now in Brecksville, or get to golftech.com. It's Golf Tech's plan of attack sale. Proven path, proven results, Golf Tech.
I'm Joel Matlin, president of Alarm Force. What will get a burglar out of your house faster? A siren or the voice of a live person telling him he's been caught and the authorities are on their way? The answer is the voice, which is why Alarm Force's live two-way voice is the best way to protect your home. Only with Alarm Force, you get live two-way voice at no charge and only $25 per month for monitoring.
Call 1-800-267-2001. Alarm Force.
Ohio's best choice for home security.
All right, another successful edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford in the books. We want to thank for their participation in this show Bernie Kosar and Tom Withers. Want to thank Lauren Whitaker and Joe Meadows. Want to thank Drew Boatner and my outstanding producer, Dave DiNatale, and tell you that next is 3 Deep. Stick around for that. We'll be with you again tomorrow on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media.